You are listening to The Riding, NFL DFS Podcast with Pat James.
Welcome, everybody, to the Week 5 Lineup Review Edition of The Riding, DFS, and Betting Podcast. Really tough week for me to set a lineup. It was one of those weeks where I was clamoring back and forth. Like, there's some weeks where I know exactly what my cash team is going to be a day in advance, 2 days in advance, you know, save some crazy news. I know. And then there's weeks where, like, I make it work right after inactives because I'm just waiting to hear one thing. There's days where I set it Sunday morning and I'm pretty confident with setting it Sunday morning. Then there was a week like this week where I was fidgeting, tinkering all the way up to about 12:50 Eastern time. And it had a lot to do with the value that opened up at wide receiver. It had a lot to do with the fact that I was not going to budge off of Josh Allen. And I just couldn't make anything work that I liked. I had to sacrifice somewhere. There just wasn't a lineup that I was comfortable with, because all the guys that I wanted, like, I had a lineup that I liked, but it left over $1,000 on the table. And then using that $1,000 just felt awful in pretty much every spot. But I just couldn't leave that much on the table. That's probably a conversation for another day if it was optimal to use. I'm not someone who thinks you have to use all $50,000 of cap space on DraftKings. However, leaving over $1,000 on the table, I think it was $1,100 or maybe $1,300 left over, I just couldn't do it. I didn't think it was a smart play. So here is the lineup. We'll go through the core four, how the core four did, and we will talk about how things ended up. So, quarterback Josh Allen, told you I wasn't moving off him on the Sunday live stream and on the Wednesday podcast. I knew he was going to be locked in. I know people were all over Tom Brady. I kind of laid out my argument for not playing Tom Brady. That kind of came to fruition. So feel vindicated there. I played Nick Chubb. Very, very interesting play there, to be honest. But I played Nick Chubb, Alvin Kamara, and those were the only two running backs I played. I did not have a three running back lineup this week. The four wide receivers I played were Chris Godwin, Tyler Lockett, Chris Olave, and Khalil Shakir. Tyler Higbee at tight end, Dallas defense. So the core four was Allen, Smash, 5X to salary. Godwin, decent. Almost 13 DK points, probably could have been a little bit better. Higbee, decent, was probably one of the better tight end plays on the slate because not much happened at tight end. Goddard did pretty well. And the Cowboys defense almost 10x'd their salary, and they were popular. They were like 50% owned in double ups. So here, this lineup went for almost 205 DK points. It was one of those lineups where, like, it was a no-doubter at 230. Allen had already thrown for, like, 300 yards and four touchdowns in the first half. Chubb had already run for, like, 80 yards and two touchdowns. Lockett had caught a touchdown. Shakir caught a touchdown. Like, at 230, I was, like, in like 10,000 man double ups, I was like in fourth place. So I kind of knew that even if things went awry after 2:30, I would have probably just coasted to a win. But they, you know, Dallas defense came through, Higbee came through, Lockett ended up scoring another touchdown, Kamara ended up playing really well in the second half. Olave ended up catching a touchdown. It was just a really smash week. I ended up winning 94% of head-to-heads. It brings the season total through all 5 weeks to 69% of head-to-heads and 4-1 in terms of winning double ups. So through 5 weeks, I will absolutely take nearly 70% of head-to-heads and 4-1 in double ups. Here was my thought process, though, in terms of this lineup. So obviously we wanted Josh Allen, we wanted Godwin, we wanted Higbee and the Cowboys defense. The other things I was considering with that $1,000 that I had left over. So I really wanted to get down to Shakir because not only did I think he would open things up, I was playing around with not having a punt anywhere. So that would have like looked like Tom Brady at QB and then like basically everybody between 5,500 and 6,500 all the way down. But I was too dead set on Allen, so those lineups weren't looking great to me. So basically, I thought Shakir was a really good play this week. I mentioned that on the live stream. Like, I didn't think he was just like, oh, pray for two catches. He's a good player with Dawson Knox, Isaiah McKenzie, and Jamison Crowder out, and the Bills just throwing at an unreal pace over expectation every week. I just figured that there was only so much that Diggs and Davis could do, and they did it. But, you know, Khalil Shakir, 75 yards and a touchdown. I really wanted him in the lineup. I thought he was a good play, and at minimum, that was awesome. When I kind of opened up 50-50s and double ups and went through my head-to-heads, I was surprised to see that he was only like 10 to 15% owned. So then I had like, you know, I toyed with Jeff Wilson a little bit, but it came down to either paying up $1,100 off of Tyler Lockett for Christian Kirk and staying with Lenny Fournette, or paying up $1,100 off of Lenny Fournette and getting Nick Chubb. I chose Chubb. I kind of mentioned that I thought, you know, I didn't think Rashad White was going to have some crazy role. Like, I didn't think like things were going to go 50-50. It kind of did. I mean, like, Rashad White was in there a ton, but, you know, this was just a game where the Falcons let, and I don't know if, I want to say this off, this is off the top of my head, but I want to say that the Falcons coaching staff is known for letting running backs catch the ball and just trying to swarm and make a tackle, right? Like, if there's guys in the flat, they kind of just let running backs catch the ball. They'd rather play off the flat routes and then kind of just make a tackle instead of gambling and, you know, making things worse with being aggressive in the flat. I could be wrong on that, but for whatever reason, that's sticking in my head. So that makes sense why, you know, Lenny caught a bunch of passes this week. Lenny ends up smashing. But I thought at 2 o'clock, I thought I had made the absolute nut decision because Chubb busted off like a 50-yard touchdown. Lockett caught a touchdown. Kirk was MIA, and, you know, Lenny wasn't doing that great. He had a few catches or whatever at that point, but it was really smashing. It ended up that, you know, Chubb and Lockett combined for almost 60 DK points, and Fournette and Kirk combined for only about 40, right? Fournette did end up being a better play than Chubb. However, the decision that I personally made 2v2, it would not have been the right decision if I had picked Fournette, because I would have also had to have picked Kirk. So I made the right call there. I say this all the time. It would have been very easy for me to have made the opposite call. You know, I weighed my options, chose correctly, but there are weeks, there are going to be weeks this year, there have been weeks in the past where you make the wrong 2v2 call and you cost yourself 30 DK points and a cash. And that's just the way cash games are. You just have to have faith and confidence that you'll make the right decision more often than not. Period. That's all there is to it. So there was a few. Olave was 50. Now this is what this is in the $50 double up. I'm looking at these percentages. Olave was about 50%. Lockett was about 40%. So the lineup ended up really getting there. 205. And it's all relative, right? Like the chalk went off. Allen was 25% and he went off. Kamara was 34%. He went off. Lockett went off. Cowboys defense went off. So it's not like, you know, like cash games or some insurmountable game now. The chalk just hit. So the cash line's always going to be higher. My cash lineup ended up being the best tournament team. I had it in one of the, it was either one of the 27s or $33 tournaments. And it ended up returning like six or seven X. So that was nice. All that to say, for the second week in a row, I did not play the most owned top play on the slate. Right, last week, somehow I got off TJ Hockenson. This week, I get off Leonard Fournette, and I cashed both weeks. It's like Final Destination. Like, it's just not my time to die. I don't know what to say. I feel like both weeks I made an error, right? I probably should have played Lenny, although the 2v2 swap made it the right call. I should have played Hockenson. Although the swap that I made last week, you know, enabled me to get onto guys that scored just as much, almost as much as Hockenson and made the lineup work. So flirting with danger, but it's a lesson learned. I'm not going to walk out of here, you know, and it would be wrong for me to walk out of here, you know, chest pumped up like Conor McGregor, arms swinging like I'm unflappable. You know, I'm almost like not happy the fact that, you know, I've smashed the last 2 weeks not and making that error, because I always pound the drum for playing the best plays. And I thought Lenny was one of the best plays, and I knew Hockenson was one of the best plays last week. But it's just the way salary cap is salary cap. It's just the way it happens. You had to sacrifice somewhere. I may have been able to get off Kamara and do something weird there, but who knows what I would have gotten onto. So it feels good. So there was a super duped lineup that I think did have Kirk, and it might have been my exact lineup with the Kirk and Shakir. I'm not really sure. There was a few super duped lineups where, like, you know, you're scrolling through the 50-50s and everybody has 182.70 or whatever. I played a ton of those in head-to-head. That kind of boosted the head-to-head percentage. I actually thought I was not going to lose a head-to-head. I was like green light all the way for most of the day. And then I think maybe there was a lineup with Jeff Wilson that was kind of duped that ended up beating me by a few tenths of a point. And almost every head-to-head that I lost was that exact lineup. And you'll see that, right? You know, there's like four or five guys at running back that everybody wants to play. There's five or six guys at wide receiver that everybody wants to play. One or two quarterbacks, a couple tight ends, one or two defenses. And it's just iterations of these quote-unquote top plays that get put into lineups. So, you know, people aren't cheating. But when you're running optimizers from websites and, you know, there are clear and obvious best plays, people are going to come across and enter the same lineup. Evidenced by, you know, I think I counted like 10% of the head-to-heads I played was one particular lineup. It was like a really, really dupe lineup. And then, like I said, almost every lineup I lost to was that one lineup that did a few tenths of a point better than me that had Jeff Wilson. So, you know, there's a very razor-thin margin for error. Somehow I've avoided it the last few weeks, but I'll try to do the best I can to put in the best lineup going forward. Help you guys do the same. Hopefully you guys all cashed this week. So heading into week 6, We are 4-1 in double ups, almost 70% in head-to-heads. We're rolling through 2022. It's been pretty much the same the last few years. You know, we'll probably end up like 12-6 through 18 weeks, or, you know, something like that. We'll shoot for 17-1. That's the goal, right? If you're 4-1, the goal is 17-1. But you have to be, you know, you have to have real expectations. Just want to come out of here unscathed and with a profit every year. Well on our way. All right, I'll talk to you guys on Wednesday or Thursday with the week 6 rundown. See ya.